night video. And I was hoping to show you some footage from the night video, what we're going with just infrared, completely dark in the fishway. We think going completely dark in the fishway with IR lights, with digital video, is going to give good imagery of the fish and maybe really alleviate some of the problems we have with some of the species like lamprey. Could be a benefit. When we look at what's happening in the constellations with lamprey, you know, at night it's crazy. If you've seen the video with the up and down movement, and you know, if you know where the constellations are, you go through the constellation, then you get basically, you know, you get to the viewing section, and then serpentine weirs are right there. So it's, to me, it might be a combination of the hydraulics and also some things we're doing. You know, if you're a nocturnal creature moving at night for a reason, and you've got to swim through those lights, it could have an effect on you. The issue there is we don't have the video. We'll show it. We should have it. We'll probably be collecting it tonight or real soon. We just had a technical issue. We tried to get it last week. Something happened. We couldn't get just completely dark alone. So one of the things we started talking about, Gary, was one of the EPOMs, or the last EPOM, I thought you said there were some other issues in terms of the overall programmatic, what we're collecting, and some different things you'd like to see collected.
My issue's always been getting the off-season, you know, the normal season ends, depending on the project, but it can be October.
October 31st, basically.
31st, yeah. And my concern is that we're always being asked to assess the impacts on fish for actions that occur outside the water work period, you know, extensions. So we're talking November, we're talking March, and we don't have a lot of good data for that. I mean, it's been on a cycle, and we've been on that cycle, you know, and it takes several years between each project is, you know, several years before you get another year's worth of information. It's kind of hard to get much of a 10-year average or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what I would like to see is at least those times of the year, maybe it's just November and March, but it'd be nice to get the winter counts and some of the projects on a consistent basis so that we have that, you build up a good database of the passage numbers and be able to understand better what the effects of these actions might have on fish passage. So that's what I'm looking for, but I don't want to break the bank in doing it. I'm not asking Greg to dive in there and put counters in the windows for those months, but if we could come up with a system, an automated system, not a lot of fish are passing, you know, so it's not a real dense window. Species numbers are down too at that time, so it might be fairly easy to develop an automated system that would at least, you know, only show us the fish that pass. Even better if it could identify the fish and just give us the number. Ooh. That would be wonderful. But or even the difference between steelhead and salmon. And you know, it doesn't have to be coho versus chinook. And a lot of times we don't care. We're more looking at what's out there. You know, how many fish are out there? Salmon and steelhead would be a good differentiation because we're talking spring spawners versus, you know, winter spawners or fall spawners. So it gives us some idea of what the severity is if you have a delay for the fish in those two time periods of the year. So, and you know, of course, March, who's going to be out there besides steelhead, really? So, you know, maybe kelp versus grabbing females, but responds. But that's asking a little much.
Yeah.
You know,
you know, there are plenty of fish out there.
Well, you know, one's thinner than the other, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, right. I've heard that there's programs out there actually are able to identify between a computer analysis program where it actually compresses the video down and just reads those blips of time, and right. Then that computer actually develops a condition on the fish, not only species, but I think even down to a sex type number on them. And they can do a few number of fish, but the count station would have to be modified big time for that to occur. Mm. Because it goes through, not a tube, but it goes through basically a rectangular-type box goes through when the video picture of it comes out that way. So that come into play, too. I can, you know, that'd be a neat system. It really would be to do that type of stuff where it's just automated and the computer spits out the species and the run per time, per day, per hour.
Yeah.
That'd be great for, you know, the upper dams.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not talking about changing. I mean, eventually, maybe, I think we would want to careful what I say here, but you know, down the road, getting maybe impossible with millions of shad and salmon going through Bonneville, but of these projects, you might be able to get to an automated system even during the regular season, but I'm not saying that now. I mean, that regular season stays the same. We have the counts, we have the people, they're doing the thing. that's fine. Don't change that. It's really these outer edges or nighttime counts. You know, we got into a bit of an argument yesterday over how many sockeye are passing at night at certain projects.
How many was that?
And
who was right again?
Thank you. Well, I'm not sure I heard that was right. But anyway, that's would be a good another use for this is getting those off hour.
Those off hours, those low off count hours. Periods.
Yeah, those low count periods when it doesn't really pay to have somebody sitting there. We just can't afford that, but we could maybe afford having a camera do it for us and a computer.
Because at night now there's bright lights, right?
Yep. Yeah. Well, depending on the station, too. I mean, they adjust
it. It's not necessarily bright, but they are lighted. They are.
You're not going to tell the difference between a bull trout and a shad, I hope.
There is that difference that they make.
That's another one. Yeah, yes. Get that.
That is in their list.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Walter.
So you guys love those bull trout, don't you?
We've used them in warm springs, and there's definitely some downsides to automated software.
You killed the habitat.
So hold on, everybody, excuse me. There's like three conversations. Somebody's trying to make a point here.
So we've used automated systems in warm springs, and we tried to set up one in the fish ladder at Willamette Falls, and there's definitely some downsides to doing that. You know, if you want to just look at the blips over time, we do that in the Warm Springs River. It works great. We use the fish tick software, and it just shows us bits and pieces.
So you look at the only when something triggered the video.
Yeah, so with bull trout, we're in the Warm Springs, and basically we see, you know, bull trout, spring chinook. You still have the personnel time associated with it. But once you get more into a situation where you have the potential of having debris flow through, you have multiple kinds of fish going through. Turbidity is going to be a huge issue.
Bubbles.
Yes, and that's, you know, when you start putting in, like, the actual physical properties of working in that environment, you start having more and more problems. So it's one of those things where, you know, maybe something can be built that minimizes that, or there's software out there that does a better job. But Jeff Fryer and Peter Galbraith have a lot of experience doing these things, and Jeff was really the one that said we want to do lamprey counts in the fish ladder at Willamette Falls, and he basically said you're not going to get what you want out of it. So
I'm going to use Jeff Fryer software next year in another stream that we count. Actually turn it over to Umatilla tribes, and they're going to count it with the software.
So Kyle Barrows, this is where I was going to make the point. So Kyle Barrows came and gave a presentation to FBOM with going with that automation stuff. Mm-hmm. And I sat there and watched that presentation, and I thought, yeah, that's the future maybe, but what can we do rapidly?
Yeah.
And this is where I think the capture, compress, then if you can take 8 hours of video, make it 1 hour, right? Then maybe you can afford the fish counter to visually do it right now. And that's what's on my mind is, how do we get there the most rapidly? Right, and start, because in a lot of the conversations there's a lot of dead time, right?
Oh boy,
so
time.
If we can move that out, and that's what we're working on along with the night stuff we're working on, and so, you know, these different softwares, there's a lot of different ways of doing it, and this is all out there. We're working on that now. It's going to take us a little bit of time.
Yeah. It sounds like the problems you're talking about potentially just would make it, you have to view video that contains bubbles or log or stick or stuff.
But that's better than viewing everything.
Right.
So anytime something irregular passes through, it's going to trip it to clip that piece of video.
So that'll just add to the amount of review time.
Yeah, that would temper the promise of any compression.
Missing, right? Mm-hmm.
Just to kind of temper that promise is realize you have to check the motion.
And that's man hours time.
And the question is, how often would that happen?
Well, and that happens quite a bit in some streams.
Oh, yeah, but for the snake of the Columbia in November,
November.
If you have a storm, maybe, but normally it's not.
We're talking about,
it's pretty clear condition.
For
March, different thing.
Yeah, for what you're looking for the in-water work, for the extension, that kind of stuff, this could probably work.
I think it could work.
Mm-hmm. But trying to expand it beyond that is going to be more challenging.
Yep.
And the infrared light digital video is a win-win.
We think it's going to be a win-win. That's why I'm a little disappointed we don't have the video for you right now. John, you've been raising your hand trying to make a point.
I had a question. Does it handle different light conditions from light to dark?
and...
Does what handle?
The video handle, the video counting, accommodate dusk to dawn or various lighting conditions.
It's infrared, John. We do it at nighttime.
Okay, and then the other one is fish moving up versus down and yet oriented the same way.
You're talking about the software, not necessarily just video capture itself, right? Okay. So I think that it just depends on the video, the software package you would apply.
And then I guess, but he does, John, to bring a point, like if we wanted to do this in an automated system, say, outside for anyone to work during the day and that kind of stuff, I'm assuming the system automatically filters itself to deal with different lighting conditions. It adjusts.
Well, I think it depends on what part of the software you're talking about.
I'm saying the capture video, because if you have different lighting and that kind of stuff.
The way I understand it, we used one on the Warm Springs, it's like your DVR. It's always recorded.
Yeah.
So it's always recorded. But it doesn't actually keep it.
No. I understand that part. I'm just saying, like, different... If you're for a whole day and you go from light to dark, your system, I assume, can adjust for that.
Yeah, the cameras have different aperture.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's all automated. It takes care of itself. Because it does that, then it's like, then this will work perfectly for what you're looking for.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, and then with the IR, do you ever need to shut it off?
Yeah, the IR can just stay on.
The IR just stays on because it's out of the fish's visual spectrum, so as well as our own. Mm-hmm.
Yep, should work fine. 24.
No, I think that's a great advance if you can make it work.
And that's what we're working on now. And it would seem simpler, but one of the things is when we started out on this, there's a couple different ways of doing it. Right now we're going internally on our network. Anytime you work internally, and I brought this up before, there's every time you try to put a new piece of equipment in there. But we've come to a point, because StreamNet, there's some other potential ways which we could get the fish count and everything off the core network, that maybe that's part of the alternative study, right? The first thing we want to see is, can we do it internally? And we're pulling that off at the Dallas. We are doing it and stuff like that, but the number of obstacles and how frustrating it is, and also, you know, our system is continually changing because the bad people that want to do bad things to us are continually, you know, it's an arms race.
Yeah, but this, well, okay. But, I mean, this could be something done at each project, not even put out on the web, on anything. Yeah. It doesn't have to be real time. It can be data collected and then reported on the next year, as far as I'm concerned, because what we're trying to do is build a database to understand what we might see. We're asked in September for an outage in November.
Yeah.
We're going to be looking at last year and the year before and the year before and the year before's data to make that determination. We're not looking at it real time. You may look at it real time for some reasons, but for the most part, when people come, when you guys, when the Corps comes to me, they want to say, we want to take this out because we're doing something, we want to take it out in November. Is that okay? And I'm saying, well, I don't know. What's fish count? Well, we don't know because we haven't looked. So,
I
want to know what those counts have been over the last few years. We don't have that yet. We got a little bit, not enough, as far as I'm concerned, to have good information on how that changes over time.
Well, wait a second. We have fish counts data with all the projects in perpetuity.
Yes,
well, but it only goes through 1938.
Yes, but it only goes to a certain date.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about is... I'm talking about November. I'm talking about March when we're talking about... Yeah. In-water work periods go from December 1 to the end of February, most usually.
So the cycling through the dam zone, doing the winter observations that we've been doing,
it's just not fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we just... You know, you still go back and say, okay, we're going to do something with Dallas. You go back and look at how many years of information we have, and it's like three, you know, and those are 5 years apart. And the last one was 4 years ago, so I'm not sure what, you know, the huge numbers that we've been seeing these last couple of years affect what I might see coming next year when you're asking me to do this work. So I want a better data set to look at. I think that's important. And it doesn't have to be real time. So how you guys collect these data, at least initially, it'd be nice to have that. But even if it's just something that you're storing and then compressing in, you know, over the winter, say you do November, you just video all of November, you do the compression, and you have somebody look at it in December and post it, you know, when you have it, that's great. At least it's building up. Right now, it's nothing. Zero.
Hey, you're talking specifically the extensional, but for the in-season stuff, though, we're making real management decisions with the data.
Yeah.
So,
I'm talking about one thing at a time.
I know.
So,
this is every day except for Bonneville. Yeah. So we do have daily counts. Every day.
Yeah, that's the most critical thing, because right now we're getting the data we need. We're getting 24-hour sampling at some spots. We're getting around the year at Granite and Bonneville. That's great. It's good. And it's meeting the need in season.
Everything we're doing is meeting the need in season except for Tom, who predicts a lot of night passes for sockeye, which is not true. But anyway.
Really? You want to go there?
So what Pittsburgh data?
What did you take now? I'm glad to see that.
So is the cost of...
It's not running yet. No, but we can. I can prod a little bit more. Yeah. You and me.
Is the cost of monitoring fish counts and paying contractors to do all this work, does this technology have the potential to get us better around your... really counts at all the projects?
When we switch from visual to video taping, video counting, the cost change increases. And generally, visual counting does not cost that much. But videotape, because they've got to review the tape, view the recording, once and maybe twice at another speed. You know, they do it a little bit faster. There's some dead periods in that period of time, some of that. But it does cost a little bit more for video recording over the same period of time. Whereas, you know, when a fish goes by, I guess it kind of makes a decision. It's done. It's gone.
So, you know, this whole thing probably should be laid out in steps. And then
so we should have an agenda?
Instead of wandering around from thing to thing, but you know, there's the marginal counting, there's the in-season counting, there's the night counting, all these different things that we're talking about. Each one of those has different importances associated with them, and there's a tie-in to the history, and you know, as you start changing methods, you're going to be changing the comparability. Years of
well, what you have to do.
But that's an important aspect of the current counts that we have, right? They are truly not a count. We shouldn't call them counts. We should call them an index. And that confuses people up and down the river, inside the basin, outside the basin. Even as an index, they're not perfect. That's one thing I think Mr. Dalen's done really well, is to document how counting has changed. We no longer are sitting above flashboards counting fish in the lower flashboard, right? But that's how it used to be done. We no longer walk the count slots at night. But there were years where that was done, right? And the types of, even the expansion factor to make up for the 10-minute break has changed over time.
There's a lot of, if people think all those counts back to 38 are consistent and the same, they're not.
Yeah, right. And any monitoring program that's been around that long is going to go through these changes. Yeah. What's probably changed more than that is the actual fish weights themselves. So,
no longer.
I don't know if I would stress too much about trying to do what we can to improve the accuracy of counts. Even if they're not comparable to previous years.
Yeah, which is what I'm looking for initially. What's really missing is the abundance factor for those edges, those times when we're asked for exceedances.
November, March.
Yeah, we're just missing the abundance and the index, whatever you want to call it. We don't have a time step there, or not time step, time series for that. Yeah. It's very thin. So that's a critical need, I think. And then improving what we have already is good too. I'd say that was a second, secondary. As you guys go through all this stuff, I mean, getting away from the bright lights is a good idea. So if we can do that for night counts, that's a great idea. That's a great approach, I think.
Is it thought that these lights cause a delay in passage?
If you've watched the video, it's there's I think multiple things going on because the placement of where the call stations are located, because you've got the fish going through the light and then they get to the serpentine weir section, especially with lamprey, and it's just the velocities there and
fish
stuff.
Fish counting does delay fish. There's no doubt. No, I don't care night, day. It's just you're squeezing everybody down to a slot, mm-hmm. putting bright lights on them, and they've got to change their behavior to go through there. So. You just have to sit there and watch for a while. You watch a fish come up, and they get spooked, and they go back, and that goes on every one of those.
And the design of these fisheries were designed, way back yonder, like the Canary, Oregon Shore. They come out of a tunnel, basically, and they go through a clear section, and then they get to the count station. They get bombarded by different light in that three sections. Yeah. I mean, it's terrible for count there, the Canary.
So what we want is a count system that doesn't use any kind of crowder, that counts these fish in a normal ladder just as they go by.
You want the Holy Grail
County? Holy Grail County.
Gee, Holy Grail. Oh, so then we
have multiple levels here.
That's why they need the count.
What's immediately possible, and then there's way out there.
You
always have a goal way out there.
So
is. So you almost have to use infrared and all that kind of spectrum to see it.
It should be free, it should be instantaneous, and it should be 100% accurate.
Right. Part of this is something Joe said earlier. He said he's like looking up at 1,000 feet, right? So if you know me and stuff like that, well, fish counts has never been that much of my background. So, and I'm trying to learn as fast as possible and help the team that I'm working with and stuff. And so one of the things is getting together with everybody is understanding what everybody's needs are. He's done very much for automation and the flow of fish counts and improving the level of effort that has to go into getting those fish counts posted.
Good people.
Yep.
Who was that?
John Dalen.
So the one thing you're going to do is, as we start integrating the systems, you're probably going to want to do parallel, a couple, just for a little bit to compare what the new system can do.
A test.
Exactly.
And with multiple cameras in there, right? And then we can actually start using counters to do QC, QA on themselves.
Absolutely. Without even,
there's all kinds of different potentials.
Design that too.
Yeah.
Right. Good point. Good point.
But something that's really important for me is hearing overall what the managers need, what you need, what's working, what's not working. You know, I hear the extension. Some of this is beyond me, of course.
The main thing right now is we're missing, as Gary has alluded to, I think 15 times now, is the outside of the normal count system. The current count system works. Now the question is from the core. It's like, can we do it better? Can you guys do it cheaper?
Yeah.
And then the bigger question is are we going to need some of these projects, like we talked about, like Mo and Goose, do we always need full counters full time there at Mo and Goose? Like, do we always need full counters at John Day? Do we really need to have that kind of stuff? And that's something where you guys start pairing back, or maybe we could go to a video system that's maybe not quite as extensive, but still be something there. Because we obviously are still going to need, like this year, we need to have information at Mo and Goose, find out if there's a differential problem.
Certainly.
But we may not need as rigorous of a system that we currently have.
Yeah, because we do have pits as well in most of these spots. That gives us at least passage duration and, you know, how long it takes fish to get from project to project. But it doesn't give us abundance. That's the issue. Relative abundance, but not, you just don't know how many fish are actually tagged out there, so you have that data that you need. You're lacking abundance of information. But the point is, we do have pits. So pits can help us in some of those intermediate sites to get the information we need. So it's not as important in those sites.
And like you're saying, you're not going to be able to do video at every station. That's one of the things we looked at right away is, where are the count stations where we're testing out the Dalles work? We incorporate this. We've identified at least six we think it could be viable. But the first thing is proofing it up. Mm-hmm. And so the one duo I do have is to get you some video in the dark for the next step bomb.
Okay.
And we'll have that.
If you can give us a list of where you've got other sites where you think video, if you get video work, these would be sites that you think would be good candidates for video. That would be interesting to have too. So we can start.
Because you already mentioned some of
them. I can do that right off the bat.
Yeah, you're good.
Definitely.
That would be the why not the other sites.
Yeah.
So is there something that could be changed?
If it has to be modified, what would that be?
Right.
Yeah, if I was going to modify it, these are the stations
that
I would.
Was looking to you.
Why not Bonneville, right? All I heard is why not Bonneville, right? I can tell you a few reasons.
Yeah, we know. We got.
I think we'll just put blinders on Bonneville and just go right in and stream from there, way upstream.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Ice Harbor, one station, one person does two stations. Loma, one person does two stations. So. Yeah.
One eye on one monitor, one eye on the other monitor.
Exactly. That's a fish eye.
I'm not really seeing a problem with our stock eye.
I got show. Interesting. Okay.
Looking at our sock guy, looks like
he massages them there, gives them a little cool treatment of that.
Going through the Dalles and
gives a good sweetest massage before they leave.
From what I see so far.
Both the fish resuscitation.
Salt treatment.
We can do that. That'd be great.
Showing me.
We know which station we want to put these things
at. We do. I've actually got the list back now.
Good.
Work with the team and we'll get your input as well.
Yes. Yeah, give that a shot. I need to get the contract going now, and
these are
after we get it going,
they're which stock?
Well, they're just all Bonneville.
Did you just hijack the meeting, Jeff?
Pretty much.
Yeah. That sockeye meeting we're going to have tomorrow, we're going to have a part of, right?
Oh, my gosh, not the sockeye meeting we had earlier.
Yes.
I agreed to move fish, I think.
I think you did.
I love moving fish.
I heard you did.
Would it be worthwhile to have a visual counting in March at Bonneville? Or are there not enough fish to really warrant that? Because we're doing
visual counting
in November.
Bonneville?
At
Bonneville, we're going all the way through November 30th.
Right, so we've added visual counting all the way through November.
Right.
But we don't have visual counting in March. Is there a benefit to having those real-time counts in March?
You do have visual in March at every dam. No, at Bonneville and Granite.
I thought our visual accounts didn't start till April.
But you have video for March.
But it's video.
We do have video, but we had video for November too.
Excuse me, you're right. It's video in March, but you got that data every year.
So we switched November to a visual account because it was going to be cheaper, but then because we also needed those numbers more frequently, especially with the coho that we had last year. Is there a benefit to doing that in March at Bonneville?
I don't know. I can't think.
We have to look at the numbers first.
I think it would fall back Celts or fall back steelhead versus Celts.
That's something, but I don't think you're going to be able to tell that from us.
We can't really. I mean, that would be the only thing I could think of is trying to decide.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head right now of a reason why you would need it.
The fallback numbers over the separator if you were trying to separate Celts from.
Yeah.
We don't do that anyway. Nope. We just count steelheads. So.
We're counting
steelheads.
So at the count windows, are. It just seems odd that we'd start our fish season, but we wouldn't start our counting season and run them concurrently.
We do video.
What's your video?
We video all through the winter, though.
And we get that information. It's a delay, but we get that information within a week or so.
And right now, that's adequate right now.
Really?
Okay.
Well, and we got.
So what?
Is
that complaining to you?
What? That they don't come.
No, I was just thinking that we extended visual counting into November because we are looking at, we routinely will say we need to do work in November, but we didn't consider March at that time, so while it was on top of my head before I lose it, thought I would throw it out and see. But if it's not useful.
Is it a comparability thing or is it consistency?
But it would actually save money.
And that's the thing, is there's the potential to save money, but is there another, aside from just saving money, would there be another purpose to it?
Yeah.
Not to derail
your meeting. I don't see
any
purpose in it, to tell you the truth.
In mind.
Okay.
Either one, as far as visual counts go, because we're not making decisions real time at that time. We're usually making decisions.
Were we?
What was that?
We were doing construction, and then all the coho came through, but there was a delay
in
the numbers.
That was
November, but that was
that's why we
could extend the counting season, the visual counting season, and save us money and be able to address that particular
need. Prepared for an unusual situation, essentially.
But I guess we don't usually see too many in March.
No, we don't.
But the world is changing. I mean, but if you look at the theme for today, right, the future is now. I mean, you look at the scope back out there.
Bumper sticker.
Okay, visual counts March and November. Whatever. Go for it.
I don't see the need. If you guys think you could do it and it's cheaper or something like that, I'm not going to tell you no.
Okay. I'm not going to tell you you have to.
Exactly.
I can't tell you for sure it's going to be different. Big change or not, we don't have a contractor yet.
Yeah,
really?
And so there's a big point that Greg makes too.
Yeah.
Right?
We don't have a contractor yet for next year.
That could all change.
It all changed. Big time.
Contractor.
Please.
Well, I don't think on the contract.
It's
currently
Norman. Currently. Seriously, why don't you? Oh, stop.
Can I use my last cliche?
Future's now.
Hopefully. Not yet. Future's not yet.
Yeah.
Future's
soon. You are Dr. Obvious. You are Captain Obvious, aren't you?
Yeah. With that, let's tap out.
That's it?
Well, I don't know.
So for next time, you're going to show us infrared.
Yep.
If you guys could give us a list of where you can do video and where you can't and the reasons you can't do it, and then what else do we need?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yep. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I already got part of it. I just need the video.
Yeah.
You need the video part.
And it's been frustrating. Apologies.
And then basically Gary's issues of outside the norm.
Well, those would be the place we'd be doing the video.
Yeah.
That's what kicked this whole thing off. There's two things.
Yeah.
One was that, and the other was my concern about consistency of the index over the past, but after we dug into it a bit and realized how many caveats there are in those counts going back not that far.
And the duration of the cameras, the time of day.
Well, and the expansion numbers, the things that we used, they all varied. So I know a lot of people are using
consistent
accounts.
Consistent inconsistency?
Theoretically random?
It's a random inconsistency is what it is. And that's what drives me nuts, because you're sitting here, you know, in 2015 looking back at some numbers in 1990-something and thinking that what you have today is comparable to what you saw then. And the reality is the expansions were completely different. What you saw then is they're not comparable. Mm-hmm. But everybody thinks they are. Mm-hmm. So everybody's doing these graphs of all these years of data, you know, and looking at that graph and thinking that every number is relative to the other. It's not. Uh-huh. And that's a problem, you know. Uh-huh. But
well, it's an index and it gives you trends.
But the way it's being used and the lack of the caveats.
Yeah, but the caveats are there. People chose not to necessarily read the caveats. I mean, it really goes back to the origin of the count program. It had a lot more to do with making sure the fishways were operating properly and the fish looked healthy swimming by than it did to try to monitor populations of lamprey, which is what I want to do with it. You know what I mean? Like, people make that leap because that's what their goal is, to try to, you know,
well, and whatever it is. It's the only data you've got. And someone asks you to get a population number, that's the only data you've got. You're kind of stuck.
Well, I think what I'm saying is that a lot of people who don't, they're not trying to say something, not trying to twist the data. They're just not seeing the work. Most people I talk to who are very surprised that those data aren't comparable.
I realize that because it's comparable. But
it's not comparable. I mean, you've got an expansion factor that's totally different.
I think that if no one wants to start a rigorous monitoring program, go for it.
The numbers are going to be very different.
It's a similar issue to what the PitCat community does. You have a database, and if people go in and use it without understanding what it is, it's not comparable. You can't do it.
That's a good point.
But they do.
It's not a question of accuracy. It's a question of accuracy. It's out there. Because people take that line of data and they're just comparable.
So got an action item, a couple action items, stuff for the next F-bomb.
Glad I can give you something.
And I've got some you have to educate me a little bit too, as always. It's always educational to come here.
Is that what you're saying?
We'll bring in some of those comments. I'd like to see a change in the program.
In the accounting program?
The accounting program.
The future starts today. That's like
there it is.
There you go.
I think we can do
back to the future.
T-shirts?
I need a cup of coffee.
Working on getting there faster. Or we just need to be able to count fish more economically.
Yeah. How come the cameras down are vulnerable? People ask me that all the time. Like, I don't know. I don't do that.
Bandwidth. Again, talking about the security on our network and stuff like that. Everything, every piece of equipment that goes on the network that has requirements and stuff like that, and our systems, our computers. It's amazing.
Sorry. The faster speed of the cook lab than I have a bongo.
Yeah.
Yeah. T1 line that serves, 80 people. We got a T1 line that serves 300.
My dial is fast.
Yeah.
It probably is.
Everything's got to go over to our network, right? So, and then there's so much
security.
And with the dams and the power and everything, it's just amazing.
Yeah. Just put your iPhone there and then it's like, hook it up.
Well, that's next.
Do you think the Army would have more sophisticated stuff?
Well, and
I'm sure they do.
How many times just don't get it? You guys aren't on.
Have you heard the internet, or did we just
Interrupt? Oh gosh,
supercomputers.
Well, folks, thanks. Anything else? Any other comments? Moans, groans?
No.
Wants, needs, desires.
So
okay. We'll make it happen.
Yeah. No, I like where you guys are going. I appreciate you guys working on it.
Yeah, no, it's going to be, everything takes time, right? We're going at the speed of government, but we're trying.
Instead of saying no.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. All right. Yeah. All right.
Awesome.
The 4-1, Greg, there you go.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
You're going to have to go back to work when you get that out.